Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
This is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast with Richard Deitch. Multiple times a week, our podcast will get you interviews with the most notable names in sports media, from broadcasters to dealmakers to people doing great work behind the scenes. Here's Hubie Brown.
Anytime that you win an award, it's not just because of the announcer and the analyst. It's always because of the production team.
That's the Sports Media Podcast with Richard Deitch. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
eBay Motors es tu socio seguro. Con trabajo, piezas nuevas y mucha pasión, transformaste una carrocería oxidada con 100,000 millas en un vehículo totalmente singular. Juegos de frenos, faros, lo que necesites, eBay Motors lo tiene. Con Guaranteed Fit de eBay, te aseguras que la pieza le quede a tu carro a la primera o se te devuelve tu dinero. Y a estos precios, quemas llantas y no dinero. Mantén vivo ese espíritu de Ride or Die, baby, en eBay Motors. eBayMotors.com. Solo para artículos elegibles. Se aplican restricciones.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. And you can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got Moist Mike. We got Stuart Kovacs. We're rocking and rolling. The Hall of Fame pitcher, Greg Maddux, as we officially start the baseball season today, will join us coming up at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. I got to start, though, with the nonsense and the antics and the drama of Draymond Green from last night. As 4 minutes into the game, he was ejected. That's the bad news. Now, the good news is the Warriors were able to still win the game because they needed the win in the worst way, with the Rockets now right on their ass, winning 10 games in a row. And the Warriors are right now that 10th team in, so they would be in the play-in tournament. And the first 10 teams get the opportunity in the Western Conference to extend their season with this new format from a few years ago. So the Warriors needed the win. But let's just not beat around the bush here with Draymond Green. Mistake, mistake, mistake. It was an egregious mistake this past offseason to give him a brand new 4-year contract. And I'm not just saying that because I get to say I told you so, but I told you so. Because this past summer, I said the Warriors need to stand up to Draymond Green. They need to thank him for what he did to the franchise, but realize the juice is no longer worth the squeeze. And bringing back Draymond Green was going to significantly limit the championship window for Steph Curry. And here we are, not even a full year later, and anytime I bring up the name Draymond Green for this season, it's bad, bad, bad. Whether it was with the Rudy Gobert situation, the Nurkic situation, the suspension, now he's back. Steve Kerr gives him a little compliment a few weeks ago. Oh, he's been impressed by his behavior. And then it smacked you in the face last night when he acts the way that he acts and he loses control of all of his emotions and he unnecessarily gets ejected from a game. It just isn't worth it anymore. And the Golden State Warriors need to stop genuflecting to Draymond Green. Because look what happened last night. Steph Curry was brought to tears because he knows he needs Draymond. And that's the crazy part. You don't need Draymond anymore. The Warriors should have got out of business with him this past summer. But this organization, because of how much they won and how much success that they had, they don't know how to say goodbye to continue to capitalize on what could still be a championship window with Steph Curry if you just make alterations to the roster. Like this summer, you can't go give a big fat deal to Klay Thompson. The Draymond thing needs to be a lesson for this organization. You want to go win another championship, you need to do things differently. And you saw the look in Steph Curry's eyes last night. It was like, oops, Draymond did it again. Here we go again. And these guys still have their kid gloves on when talking about him after the game. It drives me bonkers. It drives me nuts. This dude in the year of 2024 is not a positive to a basketball team. And Steph Curry's career, the end of his legendary, historical career, game-changing career, is going to get wasted because of this dude's antics. It's the same never-ending cycle. Draymond does something stupid. The Warriors comment about it. They say there's going to be change. And then 10 to 14 days later, there's another problem where Draymond's being an insufferable pain in the ass. All right? It just doesn't end. And I love Steph Curry. I think he's the most likable athlete in sports right now. But this dude has so much power, and I hate to put the onus on him, but they didn't have the cojones, the front office. Heck, that's why Bob Myers walked away, because he didn't want to tell Draymond, no, we're not going to give you an extension. Steph could have had the power to go to the front office and tell Mike Dunleavy Jr., hey, we're not doing this. We need something else. But no one in that organization, from Joe Lacob to Steve Kerr to the new GM to Steph Curry, had the cojones to say, Draymond, we don't need you anymore. And you can't be going back to the same well with the same crap and thinking something's going to be different. It's a definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting things are going to change. Like, if you give Draymond Green still the benefit of the doubt, you are a moron. There's no other way around it. And don't get me wrong, this dude's a Hall of Fame player. This dude deserves his number 23 retired in the rafters one day. But you never, never, ever, ever pay a player for what they did on the in the past when you know it's going to compromise your future. And that's what's happened with the Golden State Warriors. They are compromising their future. And for years, they pussyfoot around with Draymond Green. They put their kid gloves on. It was almost like they were afraid to ever be honest. And I don't get everything right. There's the hot take of the day. But I'm not a dummy. And it was so abundantly clear last offseason that you couldn't bring him back. And that's what they did. So what are you going to do this offseason? Who's trading for Draymond Green? First off, what are you going to get? 10 basketballs right now? And not only that, with still years on that contract, it's a $100 million contract, who is going to take him on? Like, the Warriors should pray. They should implore the sports gods that he retires. But he's not going to retire with that much money on the line. It's not going to happen. So the Warriors are screwed. But the Warriors have to have a no-tolerance policy now with Draymond Green. You act up again, suspended. That's what it needs to happen. Because this organization has enabled him for way too long. And when you're winning, you can put up with it. But when you're losing and it's impacting an all-time great in Steph Curry from trying to go get another championship, I won't tolerate it. It shouldn't be tolerated. And Steph has to take a hard stance this offseason on how they're going to improve this roster and how they're going to significantly improve it. Steph, you are the franchise. You're one of the biggest names in the NBA. You are the most likable athlete right now in the association, and in my opinion, all of sports. Got to get a little dirty. Got to get a little uncomfortable this offseason. And you maybe have to be someone that's out of character for you. You no longer can be the nice guy. Because you being the nice guy continues to enable these dumb decisions that the franchise is making. And it's preventing you from being competitive to win another championship. Let's play some audio from last night. This is Draymond Green. Here's the never-ending cycle. Draymond does something stupid. Then Draymond goes on his podcast, The Draymond Green Show, on Volume Sports. Here is Draymond Green on his latest incident.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like, a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But, yeah, it just can't happen. Like, we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh, man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule.
So why does it keep on happening? I'm going to try to be calm here. I'm going to try to have a moment of zen. I'm going to be very peaceful because I just yelled for the last 8 minutes about all this inane bullcrap. But why does it keep on happening then, Draymond? Because we're past the point. This isn't like the first time we've heard Draymond Green said, oh, this can't happen. I'm in the wrong. And everything keeps on going the wrong way for you. So his words are empty. His words are meaningless. They mean nothing. Because seriously, like, if you're believing that something's going to change with this guy because he took accountability, well, it's not the first time he's taken accountability. It won't be the last. And the fact that he keeps on having to take accountability and admitting he's wrong, showing you, it has showed you that nothing has really changed with Draymond Green. Let's go to Steve Kerr, who has enabled Draymond Green for way too long. He commented on Draymond's ejection last night.
Too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. He'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench, had a big game for us. Gee made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Can we get a little old school coach there, please? Can you, like, lay into Draymond Green when speaking to the media? Just saying, oh, yeah, he deserved it. You know, you can't say what he said, and he got tossed out. That does nothing. It makes it seem like you're not accepting and you're not tolerating what's happening. But can you have a little more energy, Steve Kerr? Can you have a little bit more fire? Because clearly what you guys have done the last 2 years with Draymond has not worked. We were talking about an organization, let me remind you. And Steve Kerr knows what it's like to get punched in the face by a teammate. When Draymond punched Jordan Poole in the face, they were afraid to even, like, lambaste him. It's crazy how this guy, and this is even the worst thing he's done, obviously, the ejection last night. It's not even top five. But he keeps on doing stupid things, and no one is holding him accountable. And it's almost as if all of them are just afraid to speak the truth. And I don't want to speculate on this. It's not fair. Maybe there's something more going on with Draymond Green. I'm not going to play the role of trying to interpret what's going on in his cabeza. But look at Steph Curry last night. Steph was dejected. Steph had to cover up his face with his jersey because it looked like he was crying, and he was crying. Because he was emotional. Because it has to be insufferable for him. When it's, okay, this is someone you have a great relationship with. This is someone that you love. This is someone that you were a dynasty with. And he keeps on letting you down. And you still don't break up with him. You continue to keep him around. Draymond right now is like the bad friend, but because he was a good friend years ago, you have a soft spot for him and you try to see the good in him. But when he keeps on stabbing you and the team in the back, you just can't put up with it anymore. You can't believe in him anymore. Let's hear from Steph Curry. This is Steph saying Draymond is critical to what we do.
We need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, he'll be available. That's what's got to happen, especially at this point in the year. So it's a tough way to start the game, but I am extremely proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way that they did.
You don't need him. Yeah, I get what his contract is, so you thought he'd be a huge contributor to this team this year. But you didn't need him in the offseason. You could have retooled this team. You could have got somebody else, whether it was this past offseason or the next offseason, and this organization doubled down on him. And guess what? Here's the irony of Steph saying that they needed him and they need him moving forward. I get it. You're trying to be supportive. You won the damn game last night. Even if you think that's true, you don't need to say it there. You got to stop just finding a way to coddle Draymond and giving him love when he messes up. I'm serious. Can you be critical of the dude? Like full-on criticism for a full press conference instead of keep on giving him the benefit of the doubt? Finally, here's Steph Curry describing his emotions when Draymond got ejected.
We know how important the season is, and secure a play-in opportunity and give ourselves a shot. We don't want to have self-inflicted wounds when it comes to that. And we all care. We all are passionate about it. The game and our chances to have something to play for down the stretch. So you give everything you got to this game, and that's the emotion.
All right, that's all we're going to really talk about with the Warriors, because it's just at a point, it's exhausting. It really is. It's the same bullcrap with Draymond over and over and over again. It's a never-ending cycle. Gets on the court, does something stupid. They talk tough. They like say, oh, it can't happen again. Sometimes even gets suspended. Maybe he's on good behavior for 2 weeks. He'll mix in a few podcasts. Then he does something stupid again. Then he goes back on the podcast, tries to take accountability. Then will be a good soldier for about 8 days. And then he'll do something stupid again. But the team is the ones to blame. The organization is the one to blame because they had an out. They had an out this past summer, and they didn't have the guts to say, Draymond, thank you for what you've done. Go continue your NBA career somewhere else, because if we want to win a championship again, we can't do that with you on the roster. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How do you react to the Draymond Green situation? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. 4227. We'll take a break. When we come on back, a lot of people are talking about the antics of Caitlin Clark. I have one problem with the criticism of Caitlin Clark. We'll get into that when we return.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the first thing you'd do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we led the show with the antics of Draymond Green. I will acknowledge, if you weren't able to tell in the last 10 or 15 minutes, that the antics of Draymond Green have been detrimental to the Golden State Warriors. But just because you have antics doesn't always mean that it is detrimental to your team. Because, like, Caitlin Clark right now is getting some criticism, which I think it's overblown, because she's continuing to jaw at the officials. Her own father basically even told her to shut the heck up. And some people aren't happy with the constant complaining on a basketball court from Caitlin Clark. Now, if those antics were detrimental to her team, yeah, we would go after Caitlin Clark the way that I just went after Draymond Green for the last 15 minutes. But Caitlin Clark right now, in women's basketball, a sport in college right now that is loaded with big names, and we know more big names in women's college basketball in this women's tournament than we do in the men's tournament, she's the face of the sport. And she is the most popular name in the sport right now. And so far, her antics haven't been detrimental to the Iowa program. Now, I don't know, and I'm not great at analyzing, right, the women's tournament. I don't watch enough, but I've been watching recently. It does look like Caitlin Clark is starting to, like, feel the pressure a little bit. Because everyone's expecting her, bare minimum, to have that Elite Eight matchup against LSU, assuming both teams do get there, and we're both one victory away from each school from seeing that. And I think that's going to be played in Albany for a trip to the Final Four on the line, because we all want to see Angel Reese go up against Caitlin Clark, and they didn't put him in opposite sides of the bracket, or they didn't keep him out of the same region. They kept him in the same region. So we want to see that. And I think when a certain standard is expected of you to bare minimum get somewhere like that, just to give us all that matchup and then eventually go get more victories to win a championship. Remember the idiotic comments that Jay Williams made where it was like, oh, she's like the most prolific scorer that the women's game has ever seen, but I can't call her great because she hasn't won a championship. That didn't really make sense. That didn't really add up to me. But I wonder if some of the antics and some of the frustration and how easily PO'd she gets is just knowing that now everyone is watching and that every move she makes is getting dissected, and anything short of a championship would be considered a failure for Iowa this season. And with how many great teams there are and how many great players there are, when you look around some of these schools, like, I'm not going to say I'm going to be shocked if she wins the championship, but it's more likely that she doesn't win the championship this year than it is that she does win the championship. So here's the other thing I'll say about the antics. Does anyone care when Tom Brady was throwing tablets and Tom Brady was yelling at Bill O'Brien? No, because Tom Brady was winning. Did anyone care when Patrick Mahomes this past season, when the Bills beat them in the regular season, was ripping the officials after the game for making a correct call? We cared. We held it against Patrick Mahomes for a week. But no one remembered that at the end of the season when Patrick Mahomes was hoisting another Lombardi trophy. You know, LeBron James, he has been yelling at officials for 20 years. Does anyone ever really significantly, in the large scheme of things, hold that against LeBron James? And I'm talking about three of the more popular male athletes in the last 10 to 20 years, right? Obviously, Brady and LeBron have been around a lot longer than the great Patrick Mahomes. So I'll ask this, Samter, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Is some of the criticism that we're seeing with Caitlin Clark, is it because there is a large group of people, including yours truly, I'll be the first one to admit it, that now we're watching more of her, and Caitlin Clark is still new to a lot of people, and we are now, just by nature, overly critical as a society? And when you're not used to seeing someone play, or you haven't seen someone play for a large stretch, first impressions still go a long way. But it's like I don't hold her to a different standard than I would with Brady, or I would with Mahomes, or I would with LeBron. I know she still has a lot of career left, but as long as she keeps on winning and her yelling at an official doesn't cost her team a game, or it doesn't make her team or her lose her composure where it translates onto the basketball court, I really don't care. And also, I appreciate the passion. I appreciate the emotion. And I appreciate the intensity. And I'm all good with that. Like, I don't think athletes need to be buttoned up all the time. Like, sometimes, we, you know, athletes cross a line. I totally get that. And their emotions overtake the game and overtake their team, and it costs their team. And it hampers their team's chances. But the emotions of Caitlin Clark, when I watched through the first two rounds, even though at times her own father wanted her to shut up, it hasn't impacted their basketball team whatsoever. So I look at this, I think it's because it's more newly exposed, right? Caitlin Clark is a player, and women's basketball is now going to levels that we are not used to seeing in terms of popularity, especially this women's tournament, where now you have so many people parachuting in that usually don't watch the sport or don't watch her, and now everyone has to have an opinion. And I just think the reaction has been a little bit over the top, where for my entire lifetime, we've seen famous, successful athletes have a lot of emotion, have a lot of intensity, and yes, at times, berate the officials. So what do you think about this, Samter?
I don't think that it's really over the top. I don't think it's any worse than what you said with whether it was, you know, T.O. on the sidelines or Brady or Mahomes. Or think about how many segments and how much time we dedicated to Travis Kelce bumping Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah, after the Super Bowl.
So, I mean, we see it all the time, and we talk about it all the time. We're doing the same thing here with Caitlin Clark. Like, maybe it's different because we don't watch her that often.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm sure that there is some bias in our minds, maybe not all of us, but some of us, when we're looking at women acting out versus men acting out. So I'm sure there's some inherent subconscious bias there that we're not used to seeing, high-caliber, female athletes act a certain way. But I think at the end of the day, we're treating it the same way we would treat any player who has an outburst. Now, like you said, it doesn't really matter to me unless it impacts her. If her outbursts hurt the team, or if her outburst is a indication that she's cracking under the pressure, and then she ends up choking and they lose in the Sweet 16, then it becomes a bigger deal to me. Having an outburst isn't a big deal. Athletes have it all the time. It's a competitive sport. She has a lot of pressure. She has literally the entire sport on her shoulders. So I get the pressure. It only matters, A, if it hurts the team and it causes them to lose this game, or if it's an indication of her cracking under the pressure and then she chokes and then they fail.
Now, full disclosure, I watch more of the men's tournament than the women's tournament. But being in the Sweet 16 of both tournaments, there's more matchups that I'm more excited about on the women's side of teams that I really want to see advance than the men's side. Like South Carolina, they're undefeated. I want to see them get to the Final Four. Like, I'm just talking about getting to the road to the Final Four. In the region that's in Portland, I would like to see Stanford get to the Final Four. USC and UConn, if we get that Elite Eight matchup to then have a team represent that other Regional Three in Portland in the Final Four, that would be phenomenal. And then, obviously, we all want to see Caitlin Clark go up against Angel Reese of LSU and have that be what determines another trip to the Final Four. Like, on the men's side, I would say UConn, everyone would be shocked if they don't get to the Final Four, number one. In the lower left region, it would definitely be, people want to see UNC up against Arizona. You know, I guess Purdue is obviously a big draw down in the lower right part of the bracket, but there's not this year a lot of kind of matchups that, like, I'm dying to see. You know, Houston's been a good team, obviously, and I'm sure that if you're not a Duke fan or an NC State fan or Marquette, you want to see Houston get to the Final Four. But there are, right off the tip of the tongue, matchups that just roll off with the women's game that this year for the men's game, they just quite frankly do not exist. Now, here's the other story with Caitlin Clark, and we touched on it a bit yesterday at the end of the show. Ice Cube and the Big Three did a genius marketing idea. And they said they didn't want this story to get out. They wanted the offer to remain anonymous and in privacy. But that's a bunch of bullcrap, because you should capitalize on the hype train and the sensation that is Caitlin Clark. They offered her $5 million to play in their season next year, because Caitlin Clark is going to the pros next year and she's leaving Iowa. So we were doing some research, because at first yesterday, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. You know, it's genius by Ice Cube, but she's never going to take it. And I still don't think she will take it, but the highest salary for a WNBA player is like a little over 230,000, and the league minimum is 64,000. So for Caitlin Clark, you're going to get more money in terms of your salary, and you'll still have all these marketing opportunities as well. And I've been to a Big Three event. They're actually pretty cool. I attended it last year at the Barclays Center. You know, they have some performers, and then you get to see the style of basketball. They do some neat things in the game that are different than the regular game to try to bring some more excitement. They do these one-on-one challenges and things like that. And they have a lot of former players that you enjoyed watching, and some younger players too, but a lot of former players that it's like, oh, it's cool to see this player play in the sport again in more of a condensed setting. So it's a really cool event, and I thoroughly enjoyed when they invited me to go last year, and I was fortunate enough to be able to take in the entire experience. But Samter, I think knowing you the way I know you, from a dollar and cent standpoint, you'll be like, oh, Caitlin Clark should take this. But I don't think there's going to be enough of a competitive fix for her to take this money, assuming that you can't do both. And it's, let's just say it's one or the other. I don't think the competitive fix will be there for her and the Big Three compared to it would be going to the WNBA. What do you make of this?
I mean, you talk about the competitiveness, she's going up against men.
Yeah.
Right? So you have an element that's going to be different. And yes, I understand that she's not going to be going up against her peers, that she probably really wants to go play against Breanna Stewart and some of these other superstars in the WNBA. But you get an opportunity to go up against, like, all-stars, NBA all-stars.
Former, yeah.
Former NBA all-stars. And someone asked me, do you think that she'll, you know, that she has a chance to look stupid? You know what? These guys are in their 40s and 50s. She's at the prime of her career.
And you can just shoot from behind the arc.
Three, and it's basically half court for the most part. I mean, I guess they have the full court, but it's not the same as her trying to go up against five-on-five men in their prime.
No, it's half court, by the way.
Yeah. So I think initially it wasn't, or maybe they had two games going on at once, but this is an opportunity for her to play up against superstars. The endorsement money, I think, will be bigger.
I don't know about that.
Her ability to play up against some, I wouldn't say legends of the game, but there's some good, you know, former all-stars, borderline Hall of Famers who play in the Big Three. Very good players. And that kind of money. You said $250,000. They play a 40-game season plus the playoffs.
So here's the
thing.
For
the Big Three, it's 8 weeks, 10 weeks if you make the playoffs.
If the argument is just going up against men, and that would be the competitive fix, I think she'd have more of a competitive fix that would be met in the WNBA than it would be the Big Three. But not only that, if you want to get the best of both worlds, you could play in the WNBA, and I guarantee you at the NBA All-Star Game next year, we just saw it this past year with Sabrina and Steph, they will expand that three-point contest, and you could get that competitive fix up against men if you add like Damian Lillard and Caitlin Clark in with Sabrina and Steph next
sure,
year.
Sure, I get it, but how much money did Sabrina Ionescu get? She probably got some, you know, a little bit of a payday. Maybe it was, you know, a lot of these all-star games, they get a little bit of a
probably
check,
charity is, a lot too.
Yeah, I'm sure she got like a little bit of a bump. But again, we're talking about the competitive fix.
You think she'll difference. Do you think she'll take this? Yes or no?
I don't think she will.
I don't think she will.
I think she should.
Okay.
Because the difference between $250,000 and $5 million, and you think about like per hour, right? We're talking about 10 weeks, $5 million.
Yeah, but she can get so much money in just endorsements that she doesn't need this, even an extra $4 or $5 million.
She's going to get the same level of endorsements if she does Big Three. People who want to sponsor her are going to, she's going to get
that
sponsorship.
I don't know.
Deals.
I just can't say that right away and say that as fact because we've never seen someone do that before. Like, I know it's not Caitlin Clark, but what anyone that's in the, I'm just asking the question, what does anyone right now in the Big Three make in terms of endorsements?
But she's not going to get the endorsement
deals.
This
is the creme de la creme name. I fully understand
that's
that.
Exactly it.
But I can't say right now she would get more endorsement money in the Big Three than she would in the WNBA. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The buyout reportedly saved John Calipari with Kentucky. We'll also get to, on the other side, Pat Kelsey taking the Louisville gig. Greg Maddux is going to join us coming up in a little under 30 minutes from now, the Hall of Fame pitcher. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. And this portion of the show is sponsored by the new Hyundai Tucson, available with complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Now it's easy to use your phone. to control your Tucson. So we know John Calipari has been brought back as the head basketball coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. I think this is the wrong decision. Now, I could entertain the argument, well, if Cal starts to get more experienced players and deviate away from one and dones, then maybe they could find a way to win another national championship. But that's not who John Calipari is. John Calipari has had an extraordinary amount of success, even if it's only resulted in one championship, being at Kentucky by bringing in these players that at most play 2 years for his program. And a lot of them only end up playing 1 year for his program. So how far is the drop-off if you get rid of the one-and-dones and just if you go with more 3-4, even 5-year players, will it even get you another championship? And if you want to go with more veterans in this era of name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal, A, can you keep them? And also, you're not going to get multiple years to go build back up and build chemistry with your team. So that's why I was a big proponent of saying, pay Calipari the money now. Get out of business with John Calipari now, even though I am an enormous John Calipari fan. Always have, always will be. And he could still go coach and be successful, be good for a few more seasons, but I don't think he's ever going to win another championship at Kentucky. And that's why I'd bring in a younger coach, a less experienced coach, where, yeah, you may take a little bit of a step back for a year or two, but you start to build for the next decade plus of Kentucky basketball. And I knew he wasn't going to get fired because of what the buyout was. And it was just south of $34 million. The problem with that, though, is, and I'm not just sneezing at, oh, it's a $34 million, no big deal. I understand that's a significant amount of money, but we're talking about Kentucky basketball, right? We're not talking about Morehead State basketball. And Texas A&M, they just paid, I know it's football, they paid like $75 million to have Jimbo Fisher no longer coach the team. So just saying, oh, it's $33, $34 million, that's why he's back. Okay, that could be your reasoning, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't have found a way to pay it. Well, Matt Norlander, Ion College Basketball, he thoroughly explains about the money part being why Calipari ended up keeping his job. Let's listen up to Matt.
I truly believe that the only reason John Calipari is the coach at Kentucky is because it is too expensive to pay him out of his contract. And in talking to two sources in the past few days, one of the biggest sticking points here is a lot of that money would have to come from the Kraft family, which is among the biggest donors around Kentucky's men's basketball program and Kentucky athletics. And I was told Joe and Kelly Kraft, they're not going to pay John Calipari north of $30 million. They are not going to let him walk away with all of that money.
So when do you let him walk away? When do you then say, okay, I'm going to pony up and I'm going to pay up and we're going to buy out John Calipari? Because the last 4 years, you know, you miss a tournament, you lose to St. Peter's, you know, lost in the round to 32, you lose this past year to Oakland. Like, when does the money become sustainable to pay? And a year from now, it goes from $33.375 million to $27 million. Is that a big enough drop-off from basically $34 million to $27 million to then say, okay, now we're going to pay off John Calipari? Then it goes from $27 million to $20 million. Then $20 million to $13 million. So maybe $20 million? And you chop that down basically to $14 million pretty much? But then we're talking about that would be two more seasons until it gets there. So it's like you're at a point with John Calipari. What are you expecting? So obviously you can't be losing to a 15 seed in St. Peter's. You can't be losing, what were they, a 4 seed this year, a 3 seed? I think they were a 4 seed. You can't be losing to a 13 seed in Oakland. But how much more are you expecting? Because next year for Kentucky basketball, bare minimum, if you don't get to the Sweet 16, we're having the same conversation. You don't get out of that first weekend, we're going to have the same damn conversation, even if you win a game next year, that we're having right now next season. And Samter, the buy-in only drops from 33, 34 million to 27 after next season. So if the boosters or the Kraft family wouldn't do it for 33 million, 34 million this year, and I don't know if they're paying all of that, but the majority of that, then are they really going to do it a year from now if they have more embarrassment when it only drops by a few million?
It also depends what they consider success. I mean, listen, for us, success is wins and losses. But for a lot of these programs and professional teams, success is also about money and the bottom line. And Kentucky brings in money. And so, and Calipari brings in superstar players who are incredibly successful. I think he had, what, 7 All-Stars this year?
Yeah, but
they were on Kentucky that were coached by Calipari.
But this conversation now is about wins and losses. Right, they're not winning enough.
Right, but so my point is, like, the people who have to make the decision on how much they're going to pay, for them, wins and losses might not be the end-all, be-all. Him bringing in top recruits who are successful in the NBA might be as valuable or more so, because now you get these $6 billion in contracts currently for Kentucky players in the NBA. That money probably trickles back to the school. So maybe these guys, like the Kraft family that Norlander mentioned, say, okay, you know what? A first-round exit is ugly, but the season's good. We're still getting fans coming to the stadium. We're still getting big TV deals. We're getting money rolling in from these players in the NBA. We have alum who are coming back. We're still good. We don't care if we win the national title. We're still Kentucky. We're still good. I don't know if that's what they're thinking. But at the end of the day, to fork over $30-something million to fire a coach, wins and losses has to be the most important thing, because right now Calipari is doing everything else except winning in the NCAA tournament. He's winning in the regular season.
Sure.
He's winning in the SEC tournament. He's winning in the SEC.
But once
he's
again, this is not Morehead State. This is Kentucky.
Right,
this
understand.
Is a blue blood.
Right.
If you don't think he can win another championship, pay him the money and get his ass out.
But the championship might not be the thing. Listen, I'm not the one paying $30 million.
Now you're making me yell at you.
I'm not the one paying $30 million.
I know what you're saying, but you're making me yell at you.
If I have to pay $30 million to tell a guy to go, you know, kick rocks, my priorities have to be that he's not meeting what I want him to meet. And
he's not.
But for those people to pay $30 million, maybe wins and losses isn't their top priority. Or maybe it is their top priority, but everything else is so good that they're willing to sacrifice the wins and losses to not have to pay $30 million. It's easy for us from this standpoint to say, get rid of him. It's not our money. $30 million isn't anything to sneeze at. Hey, here's just because
Texas
Jimbo
A&M
got $90 million to go away.
$75 million.
Just because someone paid him to go away doesn't mean that it's okay for
find
someone
find that
else.
Oil money. Find it. Yeah. That's what you need to do. Let me hear from Mitch. This is John Calipari on the reports about his relationship with the AD. Mitch Barnhart is in a bad place. This has been talked about for years, but Calipari and Mitch did a sit-down interview. This is on BBN tonight.
There are so many things out there that aren't accurate.
Correct.
You can't defend all this stuff. You just have to let it go, and hopefully people, logic, look at it and say, look, they've done a lot of good together. I think one of the things that I've said about the meeting was Mitch saying, how can I help you? What can we do to help you get where you're trying to get this thing?
Come on. It's Kentucky basketball. They have all the resources. They have everything they need to go win. They bring in some of the best players in the country. Every year, we rave and marvel at this roster. And I've been one of the biggest defenders of John Calipari. But his players aren't showing up in the postseason anymore. And that's a reflection on the man coaching them. And that's the toughest thing in sports. When you've had something successful, when to move on. It's the toughest thing. But I don't see them win another championship. And that's why I'd rather pay the money now, the $33, $34 million, than wait 2 more years and have the same results happen. And then you get it down to what? 14 more million or something like that. Get down to 20 when you buy him out. So that's where I stand with Calipari in Kentucky right now. I think Pat Kelsey's a good hire for Louisville. That used to be a big brand. It still is a big brand. But the perception of Louisville has changed. And now you don't get your first or your second candidate take the Louisville job. But Pat Kelsey won at Winthrop. He won at Charleston. He's got his team consistently NCAA tournament. Now he gets a big boy job. And, man, that is one passionate, energetic coach. And we'll see if he could start to slowly bring Louisville basketball back, because the last few years, it's been a complete and utter disgrace. Greg Maddux joins us next. The Hall of Fame pitcher, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Baseball's back.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.